City Radio, Takoradi Ganga FM Jurapa, and Radio Freed in Nandom. This afternoon, civil society organizations are demanding an immediate review and possible cancellation of Government of Ghana's 2022 contract with Asker Energy, citing the U.S. conviction of former Tor MD Asante Kweku-Bekun for bribery in the United States.
We were in a hurry to push for its renewal, and it got done.
We cannot continue to work with people who have been indicted for bribery. This contract needs to be reviewed.
We have details as the Attorney General launches a probe into the power plant contract scandal, warning that every individual found to have played a role could face prosecution. Also, Kwame Nkrumah University of Science and Technology administrators declare indefinite strike over allowance disparities.
The strike as declared, based on our communique, it's 100%. So it encompasses IT staff, accountants, doctors, development office, everybody's on board.
Also come now 3 months after the arrest and extradition of the Asante Achim North MP, the big question remains, where is he now and what has become of his case?
In addition, during a courtesy call on me by the Dutch Minister for Justice and Security, His Excellency David Van Beek.
Also, a growing number of young girls are missing school and facing health risks as the cost of sanitary pads continue to rise across the country.
Yeah, I mean, yes, come from to pad, you know. It's yum, it's messy. No, my use the toiletry and I'm to mango. I don't come to school about 1 month's time or 2 weeks. Then I use the toiletry.
We'll bring you more in our special hotline documentary, Menstrual Poverty, as residents in one small community in the Ejumako Enyan Isiam district of the Central Region are taking matters into their own hands to change the narrative and keep girls in school.
When an animal has been crushed there, Opiala, even with Oba, Oyinsen, Alco School, Onco School, Ponefi, age in name there, on your proper day, Oyinsen, Ebuhood, our parents, you know, seriously.
In sports,
Ghana's World Cup hopes remain alive despite defeats to Malawi in the quarterfinals of the Women's Africa Cup of Nations.
Send more with me, Mami Sinya Meche Thompson. Stay for details. This afternoon, civil society organizations are demanding an immediate review and investigation into the circumstances surrounding the renewal of the AXA Energy Agreement with the Government of Ghana in October 2022. According to the groups, the manner in which the contract was renewed raises questions. The renewed calls follow the conviction of former Tor MD Asante Kweku-Bekun by United States Court for bribing government officials in connection with a power plant deal involving Ghana in 2015. The organizations insist that the conviction has reopened troubling questions about the integrity of the transaction and whether public officials acted in the national interest. Before we hear from them, legal affairs correspondent Fatal Bayaga has more in the following report.
Asante Bekun went on trial in late July 2026 for allegedly bribing government officials in Ghana to secure a lucrative power plant deal for a Turkish energy company, AXA. Mr. Bekun, who is 52, and his associates outside the bank are alleged to have paid more than $1 million in bribes to high-ranking government officials in Ghana a decade ago to approve the development and financing of the multi-million-dollar power plant. Reacting to the development, Senior Vice President of Imani Africa, Kofi Bantle, said the officials implicated in the scandal must be immediately arrested and investigations initiated.
We who suffered it, we who had citizens dying, we whose economies ground to a halt, we sat and watched politicians make money off our backs as people died, and somebody else has jailed that citizen. We haven't done anything about it. Today, Doc here is telling us that, oh, maybe they should issue a statement. Look, if we were a self-respecting country, by now, after helping them, clearly they would have had an information. We would have known that, one, they were helping them, and two, after that, we'll pick up the information and we'll do this. Nothing stops Yoko tomorrow. Nothing stops OSP tomorrow. Nothing stops the Attorney General tomorrow. And I challenge them to do so, to tell us what you did and what you are going to do with this information.
They must have the list of the individuals.
Absolutely. They were part of all of this. Yeah.
So they should pursue them immediately.
They should absolutely pursue them.
Chairman of the AU Advisory Board Against Corruption, Adam Sinanu, also raised questions about Ghana's ability to detect and investigate corruption.
And I am really embarrassed that any Ghanaian within that system should think that you just be giving money to be paying these things and there was not going to be any cross-checking. And you assume that if you had your private email account, it would not be accessed to check. And right then, his private email account was all the details. So I'm not too surprised. I don't think it says much about our own system because the financing was clearly an external thing that they were looking at. And so they were more likely to do their internal investigations and find things like this.
Meanwhile, the Deputy Attorney General, Justice Rumsai, has written on his Facebook page that the Attorney General is working with his U.S. counterparts to bring to book persons implicated in the bribery scheme.
Well, on the Super Morning Show this morning, Africa Center for Energy Policy Executive Director Ben Boachie and Transparency International Ghana Executive Director Mary Ada have called for full disclosure on the deal.
The renewal was also another story. I mean, if you go through how it happened, where, you know, how ministers really pushed for those renewals to happen. And let me tell you this, if you look at the whole five-year period at AXA, actually operated in Ghana. You check the record, the data is there, an Energy Commission's data. The money that we paid for the fixed charges, AXA was deployed 16% of its capacity for that period. So what it means is that we essentially paid for the plant to be idle for much of its existence in Ghana over that period. And yet, we were in a hurry to push for its renewal, and it got done. So your guess is as good as mine how that actually played out.
It's really sad that we are continuing to speak this issue without bringing to attention the fact that we cannot continue to work with people who have been cited for bribery. Not just cited, in fact, indicted for bribery. This contract needs to be reviewed.
Well, let's follow where the money went and other details associated with this story. Head of research here at Joy News, Isaac Kofije, joins me in detail. So, Isaac, tell us, how was the bribe money distributed?
Well, so first disbursement came it came in April 2015, $500,000. The next disbursement was $1.5 million that came in May 2015. And the report says that, the court documents also indicate that each of the five officials who flew to Turkey for the plant inspection were paid $5,000 each on top of flights and hotel, fees. Now, let's look at the institutions or individuals who were actually mentioned in the, the court document in terms of where the money went to. Public Utilities Regulator, PRC, according to the court document, was paid $20 million, US dollars. A named Ghanaian official was also paid $10 million. And now Ministry of Power Girls paid 20,000 Ghana cedis. According to the court document, they were Ministry of Power staff. Mm-hmm. And Power Team were paid $25,000. Grid Co-Engineers, $20,000. Parliament, $30,000. And in fact, if you look at the travel visas for Turkey trip, that was about $45,000, about $50,000. The court document also mentions, the relative of the president, who was associated with the company, fake company one, in which in one of the draft emails, an outstanding, balance of $2 million was being discussed with the said relative of the president, John Dramani Mahama.
Okay, but what do we also know about the individuals in authority when this deal was signed?
Well, Mamet, this is not to say that these individuals were paid monies, but we are looking at officials who were in the helm of affairs when the deal was signed. Mm-hmm. According to our checks, the power minister then was Dr. Kwabena Donko. His deputy was John Jinapor, who is currently the energy minister. He was then the deputy power minister when this deal was actually signed. Mm-hmm. If you also look at in parliament, the chairman for the Energy and Mines Committee was also Amadou Sorogo. He was the one who actually signed the final report from the Energy and Mines Committee that committed Ghana to that deal. Not to say they were paid monies, but these were the individuals in the health affairs.
All right. Thank you very much, Kofi Ajay, there with our research desk here. And thankfully, we're joined on the phone lines by former Attorney General, Mr. Ikwe Otu. We're grateful for your time this afternoon on the Midday News, sir. First of all, Mr. Berko was convicted under the U.S. Foreign Corrupt Practices Act. What are the legal implications under Ghanaian law for officials who may be implicated in the scandal?
Oh, thank you for having me. I think now that most of you are also reading law, we are all conversant with the conspiracy law that you don't need to be present when the thing happens, but if there is evidence that you took part in the criminal agreement to commit those offenses, that should be sufficient. So if you've got one who has mentioned other names, and then the tracing has showed that monies were paid both within Ghana and outside Ghana to individuals to aid in practices, then if the president is doing a reset, he should crack the whip. And the only issue now is that when indeed some of his people were facing corruption charges and other offenses in court, and then the attorney general comes to enter nulla proscriptio and let them walk free, where is the confidence that he will go after his own people? That is the issue that should worry all of us. But once these people are caught, that some of the monies were paid both in Ghana and outside, in our criminal jurisdiction, if the offense is committed partly in Ghana and partly outside, the courts of Ghana will have jurisdiction to deal with those matters.
So in this case, who has jurisdiction? Is it the OSP or the Attorney General to, you know, go ahead with prosecution if there is?
Oh, I think the Supreme Court has clarified the issue. The OSP is only an agent of the Attorney General. He can start his own prosecution. But then the Attorney General has every right to enter nulla proscriptio and to stop it once again.
All right. And if these officials, if they happen to be guilty or found complicit, and they're still in public service or in government, does receiving a bribe over a decade ago still expose them to prosecution today, or is time barred?
I'm not aware that there's time limitation for crimes. So long as a crime is committed, once you are caught, you can be dealt with. I'm not too sure that there is any limitation regarding offenses.
Right. And if bribes were paid and Ghana lost money, can the state recover assets under the Anti-Money Laundering Act?
Oh, why not? I mean, a court can always make an order having convicted you to confiscate some of your assets and make sure that at least Ghana benefits by taking back what we have lost, or recovers, not benefits, but recovers at least whatever we have lost. So I don't think it's anything, there will be anything wrong with a judge making an order that you should refund or that your properties be confiscated under the Anti-Money Laundering Act and all those things. That power is there.
All right. We're grateful for your time, and that is former Attorney General Mr. Ayikwe Otu. Now, the Ghana Association of University Administrators at the Kwame Nkrumah University of Science and Technology has declared an indefinite strike effective today. The association, which comprises non-teaching staff of the university, is protesting allowance disparities and the poor working conditions of its members. The strike is expected to affect service delivery at various administrative offices, including IT, accounting, development departments, and the university's hospitals, as the administrators lay down their tools. Secretary of the association, Sally Kwajo Asense, spoke with the media following an emergency association meeting.
I was on strike simply because there is widening disparity in the market premium offered by government and related allowances. Comparatively, if you peg the least teaching staff allowance in relation to the highest non-teaching staff, you see a disparity of not less than 50%. The executives of GAWA have made such efforts. They have written to the Fair Wages and the government, other parties in government, but regrettably, we couldn't get any positive response from them. The strike, as declared, based on our communique, it's 100%. So it encompasses IT staff, accountants, doctors, development office, everybody's on board. So we are not doing it graduated form.
Well, let's speak to Emmanuel Bright-Kwekwo, my colleague in Kumasi, on the very latest on this. So, Emmanuel, what really the impact from the strike? Emmanuel, if you can hear me, unmute and speak to us. Want to understand the impact this is having on schoolwork. Unfortunately, we are not able to establish contact with Emmanuel Bright-Kwekwo. Well, 3 months on, details about the MP's whereabouts and legal status remain scarce following his arrest in the Netherlands. But at a press conference on Monday, July 27th, Foreign Affairs Minister Samuel Kujatua-Blakwa said Ghana's mission in The Hague has been engaging Dutch authorities, the MP's family, and his lawyers to ensure his rights are protected throughout the process. Listen.
Our mission in The Hague has taken up the matter and is offering consular assistance to the Honorable Member of Parliament. They are coordinating with his family and his legal representatives, as well as relevant Dutch authorities, to ensure that he is treated in accordance with internationally recognized standards and that his rights are not violated. I can confirm that on the 24th of May 2026, I personally paid the Honorable MP a consular visit in The Hague. I also note that he was doing quite well when I engaged him.
And you hear that the Foreign Affairs Minister giving the very latest on Kwame Ohene Frimpong, the Asante Achim MP. And in the studio with me is Stephen Mensah, giving us the chronology of events that has led to this point. Stephen.
Well, Mami, it's been 3 months since Asante Achim North MP Kwame Ohene Frimpong was picked up at the Schiphol Airport in Amsterdam on the morning of Sunday, 10th May, while transiting through the Netherlands on a KLM flight to visit his family in London. Since then, an Amsterdam court has on June 2022 approved the US request to extradite him to face charges reported to be fraud and conspiracy to commit fraud. Back home, Parliament has not declared his seat vacant. Majority Leader Mahama Yariga argued on mid-July that doing so under Article 97, Clause 1, Subclause C, would set a dangerous precedent for MPs detained abroad against their will. The FBI and the U.S. Department of Justice have to date formally declined to comment on the merits of the case.
All right, Stephen. And joining us is Adam Senanu. He's an anti-corruption campaigner. We're grateful for your time, Mr. Senanu. But what should we ordinarily expect to have happened in this case as of now?
MP would, as it were, ask for legal representation. So you have lawyers who will be arguing against the extradition, possibly insisting, depending on where he was picked up, that he's Ghanaian, he should be brought back to Ghana. And the U.S. will have to have his lawyers also in the Netherlands, wherever he was picked up, arguing this case in the courts there. Until the courts are satisfied that the various laws they have been met, he would not be moved to the U.S., and it will take that to happen before the substantive case will start.
We're grateful for your time, Sir Adam Senanu there. He's an anti-corruption campaigner. While still in Parliament, the majority has dismissed the minority's criticism of the new Cocoa Bill as politically motivated. They insist the legislation was not rushed and that proper consultation was done. Vice President or Vice Chairperson of Parliament's Select Committee on Food, Agriculture and Cocoa Affairs, Kwame Gakpe, says the bill is only consolidating and harmonizing existing cocoa laws that have become fragmented over the years. First, listen to the ranking member on Parliament's Food, Agriculture and Cocoa Affairs Committee, Dr. Isaac Iyao Opoku, who raised concerns about the passage of the bill at an MPP press conference on Sunday.
The President, to withdraw assent to the Ghana Cocoa Bill 2026 and return same to Parliament for broader stakeholder consultation. We also ask Parliament to remove or substantially narrow the ministerial exception in Clause 4B so that any expansion of Cocoa Board's mandate requires an enactment.
Well, we can listen to the vice chair of the Cocoa Affairs Committee, Kwame Gagbe, responding to these allegations.
What they are saying is there's no truth in that. God, it's a consolidation and harmonization of various amendments. You know, in India, they continue to amend the law, and then it's become fragmented. So as part of the government strategy is to consolidate the existing. Cocoa farmers have been consulted. Those who farm have been consulted. If views are referred to Committee on Constitutional and Legal Affairs, we normally, we always meet and then both sides meet and then deliberate on the, go through the bills. And then they'll do plans and manuals, do necessary corrections before. So no bills comes to the committee without consulting the stakeholders. So if anything to go by saying that the Cocoa Bill consultations were not done, it's not true. It's just a cheap politics there.
You're still listening to the Midday News here on Joy 99.7 FM. We'll take a break. When we return, we have sports, and also a growing number of young girls are missing school and facing health risks as the cost of sanitary pad continues to rise across the country.
I don't come to school about 1 month's time or 2 weeks. Then I use the
toiletry. Welcome back to the Midday News. We have sports with Mubarak Harina. Mubarak.
Yes, my Messi Ghana's hopes of securing automatic qualification for next year's Women's World Cup ended after the 2-1 defeat to Malawi in the quarterfinals of the Africa Cup of Nations. However, the dream is still alive as the Queens will now face Ivory Coast in the African playoffs on Thursday. Victory there would take Ghana into the intercontinental playoffs, where they would face teams from other continents for a place at the World Cup. Ghana last qualified for the Global Showpiece in 2007. We can now hear from the head coach, Kim Lars Bjørkegren.
Feeling is probably one of the worst that I ever had, maybe potentially the worst feeling I had in 20 years of coaching. I'm feeling so much for Ghana. I really wanted to help them to go to the first World Cup in 20 years. I know there is another opportunity and a chance for us to go through some other games and qualify for the World Cup. That's absolutely correct, but we went all in. I'm feeling empty right now.
Kim Lars Bjørkegren is the head coach of the Black Queens. Back to you.
Thank you, Harina, and good to see you again on the Midday News. Well, away from that, for many girls in Ghana, menstruation is more than a monthly cycle. It means missed classes, shame, health risks, and for some, dropping out of school entirely. Despite efforts to make sanitary pads affordable, many families can't keep up. Now, we can hear this documentary by Nana Bwachi Dankwa-Yadom on menstrual poverty.
Menstrual hygiene remains a significant barrier to girls' education and well-being, particularly in some disadvantaged communities.
Menstruation is a natural biological process, but for millions of girls in Ghana, it is not just about blood. It is about shame, fear, poverty, and missed dreams.
So when you don't get the money to buy the sanitary pads, what do you do?
You can tear this thing, tea roll or paper or rag.
Menstrual poverty becomes a driver of sexual exploitation.
We even have cases of girls who have come dripping and then crying too.
We met Abigail, a teenage girl in her final year of junior high school. Abigail tells how, as a user of rags, she manages to keep them clean.
Let's do the national science and math quiz now.